detour again.
Okay.
In the interest of, again, consistent with Mr. Jeffrey's comment about those who are here.
Okay.
And, Steve, you said you're here for the duration. So I'd like to go to the executive officer's report and specifically to the LID item.
Okay.
And I sent you a note kind of warning you that we had a few presentations towards the end of the agenda. This is one of them on our status with low-impact development progress in the region. So, and I'll just remind you again that I was going to give a pretty brief update on the budget status, and then we're going to talk about the field trip that the board took. We'll do that under item 17, basically to give you all something to tee off on in terms of your additional comments that you'll have.
Okay.
We have, we also have the chair's approval to Steve Schimmick for a 10-minute presentation during public forum. So we do have some additional items later, but just involving USINs. So that's why I wanted to change the order. So for the LID update, we have a couple of roughly 10-minute presentations, and we're going to start with Dominic Rock of our staff, and then he's going to be followed by Dr. Darla Inglis of the LID Institute. And so, Dominic, take it away.
Thank you. Good after. Good morning. Surprised kind of to be here this morning. Yeah, I'm going to give you an update on the joint effort, and the joint effort is a collaborative region-wide approach that our municipalities, our cities and counties are taking to implement low-impact development requirements and requirements for hydro modification control, which are linked. So today I'll just give you a update, which will include a kind of a step back to look at what our objectives for post-construction requirements are, and then go through some of the steps that we took to getting to the joint effort. You'll remember some of them because we came to you to present them, where we are, progress on the joint effort, and then I'll conclude with the role that the Low Impact Development Initiative, Dr. Inglis, plays in launching this program, and then turn it over to her for her discussion of low impact development.
Did I say institute again before?
You might have. I don't know. It wasn't.
Low Impact Development.
Yeah, initiative.
Initiative.
Yes. We had to search long and hard for an alternative to our. So, it used to be called the Center
right.
For those of you who remember that. But I think it's useful to start with the water quality end in mind and remind you that the goal of the post-construction stormwater management in our region and throughout the state is to have land use development that promotes healthy watersheds. So as more land is developed in the Central Coast to accommodate an increasing population, we want to ensure that a stormwater infrastructure is in place that protects and preserves the watershed functions that exist. We can frame this sort of infrastructure challenge by considering what the desired conditions of healthy watersheds are. And if, first and foremost, if we're talking about stormwater, we start with rainfall. So rainfall runoff really should be in balance with the landscape and the receiving water. And this question of balance gets at the issue of sediment supply, too, not just the flow of water, but of the sediment that this water transports. Sediment and water have to be in balance in the landscape in order to avoid massive stream erosion and other water quality impacts. The second condition I think that we need to pay attention to is groundwater storage. Is our stormwater recharging the aquifers? Is it infiltrating in a natural sense? And does that recharge and stormwater, or rather groundwater, support stream base flow, which is really the bedrock of much of our aquatic habitat in our riparian areas? And then finally, we look specifically at that that riparian condition, and we want to see optimal riparian and aquatic habitats. So clearly, when you develop the landscape, you see transformations of these processes and of these conditions. Intuitively, we know that as we develop in this manner, we're going to see more imperviousness, increased runoff, and we're going to see impacts of increased runoff. For example, the peak discharge from a developed area will likely result in some impacts to stream stability downstream. So it's been fairly conventional to approach stormwater management by controlling the peaks and preventing these massive bank failures like in the last picture. And we do this through detention basins. This is the common approach. So these detention basins are able to capture the peak and then slowly let it out into the receiving waters. But what the detention basins don't accomplish is they don't actually reduce the volume of runoff. You've increased that amount because you've placed impervious surfaces down, so you've increased your volume, and these detention basins don't really address that issue. They also prevent the supply of good sediment from reaching the stream, so we have that problem of the instability having robbed the system of the needed sediment. And they only partially reduce sediment pollutants and pollutant loading. And furthermore, they don't address the loss of infiltration and imperviousness. You do get some perking, but nothing like you would get throughout the landscape that they're draining. So our objective in controlling hydromodification is really not just to prevent bank failure and stream instability, but also to protect a broader suite of watershed functions, which includes groundwater recharge and aquatic habitat protection. So the steps that we took toward a joint effort, toward this collaborative effort approach with the municipalities, was, as you may recall, to start back in February 15th of 2008 with a letter expressing the Water Board's expectations of the municipalities for them to be enrolled under the Phase 2 general permit for stormwater. And those expectations included a requirement that they would actually develop numeric criteria for controlling hydromodification in their development process. They had the option of using a set of water board criteria, which was more rigorous because it was meant to be applied, you know, without a lot of unique information. So we gave them an alternative, and of course this was very difficult for them. And many of them requested hearings, as you recall, sitting through a lot of those, basically where they were challenging the requirements, either the time frame or the actual requirements themselves.
Dominic, what happened with those petitions?
Well, I was going to say, the petitions. Yeah. There were some petitions that were put in abeyance by the state board, and recently the one petition that sort of has stayed alive is the Lompoc, City of Lompoc's petition. And again, the state board tried to dismiss it basically or put it in abeyance for a period of time. The period of time expired, but Lompoc came back and said, we want to keep that in abeyance. So the state water board has agreed to keep the petition in abeyance. But we did successfully enroll all of the remaining Phase 2 municipalities in the region. So in February 15th of 2008, we said, here's the schedule for enrolling you. Here's our expectations for enrolling you. And we essentially achieved those two goals. But it was still very challenging for the municipalities to meet our expectations, in particular the technical challenge of developing numeric criteria. There's a lot of science and technical head-scratching that goes into that. And they naturally were daunted by this task. And it was at that time that the Low-Impact Development Initiative, Darla Inglis, recommended a joint effort, and that was in April 20th of 2009. And just quoting from her recommendation, her letter to Executive Officer Briggs, she suggested that we allow that the MS4s or the municipalities to participate in a regional collaborative effort for the development of hydromodification control criteria. She also recommended that we provide a longer time frame of 2 years, and the Water Board staff agreed with that strategy, but we wanted to ensure that there were compliance milestones in place, and so this third bullet refers to the fact that we required the cities to actually modify their swamps or their stormwater management plans for the executive officer's approval. And those modifications hold them to a particular schedule of completing best management practices and actually using and participating in the joint effort and using the criteria that it develops. Now, of course, there are some advantages and benefits to the municipalities. One is that we were confident that we could provide funding for a significant part, which is the technical scientific problem solving around hydromodification. And secondly, we thought that there'd be better consistency for all of the communities within the region, and this would translate into the development community being happier with a greater consistency between places. We also, they also recognized that it addressed the unique conditions of each community, so avoiding a one-size-fits-all approach. Rather, we're going to provide them an opportunity to develop their own criteria according to a single methodology. It also provides multiple benefits to the municipalities because they can work together on the same schedule, on the same basic BMPs and problems, and so they save time and money. And it also, in our view, and they, I believe, share this, it really allows them to focus on the parts of low-impact development and hydromodification control that they're better at, which is administering programs, developing modifications in their development approval process, and it lets the technical scientific piece be addressed by scientists. For the Water Board, of course, we were confident that this approach would result in criteria that were really more consistent with our broader goal of watershed protection, those desired conditions I described of runoff and sediment supply, groundwater recharge, habitat protection. So we believe that our approach is going to generate a better set of criteria in the end. We also think there'll be better consistency in the outcomes for the communities, and from our point of view, that doesn't mean everybody's doing the same thing, but rather we have a robust foundation for them to develop unique requirements in their own communities, and we'll be confident that those unique requirements are in fact well founded. And then finally, for the Water Board's just administration of regulating stormwater entities, it's more effective and more efficient to providing the municipalities compliance assistance as we move through a fairly complicated regulatory process. So the joint effort can be sort of neatly divided into a technical component and a implementation component. And the technical component is developing this methodology, which is a scientific quest in essence, and then in a subsequent phase actually implementing the methodology to develop your criteria for each city. The state is funding the development of methodology. The Water Board was successful in requesting $600,000 from the cleanup and abatement account in Sacramento to pay and to hire a consultant to conduct this work. And we've hired Stillwater Sciences and Tetra Tech as the lead consultants to develop a methodology where they'll be characterizing watersheds and receiving waters, stratifying the landscape into like and like parcels and like units so that they can kind of break it into a more manageable group. They will be analyzing the conditions and processes of the hydrologic processes that are existing in these watersheds, and ultimately refining a methodology that they can then provide to the municipalities for their use in developing the criteria. Now, all along the way, they'll be producing substantial products, maps, geographic information system, spatial layers, data layers. They'll be doing reporting and developing findings and ultimately producing this guidance. And so from our point of view, we expect a significant return on the investment of $600,000 with these products, not only in this initial methodology phase, but in the subsequent phase when the cities are actually using some of the data that's been compiled to derive their criteria. The implementation component of the joint effort includes a set of very specific milestones or BMPs, best management practices. These are now part of the stormwater management plans for each of our communities. They require that the municipalities actually implement low-impact development to applicable projects while this methodology phase is being undertaken. So for 2 years, when we're developing the methodology, the cities are actually being held to a standard of achieving a certain amount of low-impact development in the absence of very specific numeric criteria. And this involves developing applicability thresholds, changing their codes and their municipal procedures, developing guidance on best management practice design and hydrologic analysis, and technical assistance both to developers and internally to their own staff on how you do hydromodification control and low-impact development. So if we do a kind of a start-to-finish schedule for the joint effort, we started with the Water Board's notification to the municipalities in August of 2009. We basically said, we're considering an option for you to collaborate to achieve compliance with our regulations. We want some input from you, and we want to come back and offer a we want to offer the option of participating in that effort. So our stakeholder input was fairly compressed. We conducted a set of charrettes around the, or workshops around the region, very well attended by municipal staff. They gave us a lot of feedback on what the best management practices would be for this two-year period. They learned a lot in the process about what hydromodification and low-impact development requirements look like. And in October of 2009, we did send out that letter saying you have the option of participating and modifying your swamp, your stormwater management plan to commit yourself to following this strategy. And we were successful in getting 100% participation from the regions and in the municipalities in the region. So that was quite gratifying. The next big hurdle was to get the $600,000 from Sacramento. We had actually been awarded that money by the state board, but the contracting got held up because of budget issues. And finally, that was completed back in late September, and we kind of did a dance and called that the commencement of the second of the two-year process. We didn't feel like we could reasonably start this process without securing that funding. So, I think that you probably can see that staff has approached the goal of our post-construction requirements from a number of different angles. We started by communicating clearly what our expectations were to the discharger, to the municipalities, cities, and the counties. We offered opportunities for collaboration, both us collaborating with them, but also promoting collaboration amongst them. We also are providing support for their collaboration through the Low-Impact Development Initiative, a third party. We have also sought and obtained funding to support the effort, and we've secured the assistance of really the leading scientific minds in the field to address the principal technical questions around low-impact or hydromodification control. So the final note I want to leave you with is the role that the Low Impact Development Initiative has played in the joint effort. And Dr. Darla Inglis, as the program director of Low Impact Development Initiative, or LIDI, we sometimes call it, she recommended the approach, of course, but she's also been really plays a key role in each step of the joint effort and has supported the Water Board's request for funding for the technical work and is currently assisting the municipalities with implementation of a program for hydromodification control and managing the contract for the technical work as well. So with that, I can take some questions or I can turn it right over to Darla and have her explain a little bit more about her work.
What question I have for you, I think you mentioned that the municipalities are doing projects as everything is unfolding?
Yeah, what we've done is we've said that by January 1st of this year, they need to commence implementation of low-impact development projects or require it of projects that are coming into their queue at development approval.
It would be great if when you get that information, you know, when that information comes to you, that there be some place on our website that you could, you know, highlight.
Okay.
PAC development projects through the region. So the public can go right to it. Other permittees can go to it. And we can see what's going on. Because I think, you know, this is innovation. This is changing the paradigm.
Right.
In how we develop and manage our properties. And I think it's important to daylight that and to share it. Make it available.
Okay. I think Dr. Inglis will address some of that in her talk, but that's a reasonable.
Any other questions for Dominic at this point? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Dominic.